Okay, we want to thank Miriam for sponsoring this unbelievable spread. The breakfast is sponsored in memory of her father, correct? What?
Levi Ben Shmuel.
Levi Ben Shmuel. And our learning should be, the learning should be in memory, and it should be Le'ilu Nishmato. Okay, it's always meaningful to sponsor the words of Torah, in memory of a loved one. And when we come together and we study together, it's a great schus, and it should be a merit for his memory. Okay, I am this year, I'm giving a class in Orot, a course on, I call it the Jewish state, it's going to discuss issues of democracy and Judaism and the clash between the two. Because as we all know, the democracy and Judaism don't always go together. The values of democracy, especially liberal democracy, very often clash with the values of Judaism. And basically, if you ever want to know what people are fighting about at any given time, it's always about this core issue. Core issue is, what are we? Who are we? What defines us? So I'll just give you an example, one classic example that I'm going to actually talk about in the course. During the course of the war, before the war our ground invasion began, there's a colonel named Ofer Winter. I don't know if you've heard of him. Colonel Ofer Winter. What? I mentioned him before.
There was an article on him in Mishpacha after.
Yeah, the Mishpacha magazine. So this is a great example. Mishpacha magazine loves Ofer Winter. Why? Because he articulates the idea that we're a Jewish army. We have a Jewish army with Jewish values. We defend the Jewish people. But those people who are, spokesmen or spokespeople for a more secular vision, they very much had problems with Ofer Winter. They don't like his whole, not just, they love his army, they love his fighting, but they don't like his whole worldview. So he becomes a lightning rod. So that's one example I'm going to talk about in the course. Today I want to talk about a much broader question in general, which is democracy a Jewish value? Do we believe in democracy? Do we believe that we have the right to choose our own leadership or not? So on face value, anybody want to say yes or no? Anybody want to take a stab?
Well, I think it is.
Laurie? 1 second. What's that? Oh, Kohen. The Kohen is a religious leader. The Melech is a king. Okay, is the king divine? Is the king democratically elected?
No.
Tammy.
No, it's appointed.
It's appointed.
And the Sanhedrin, how is it?
The Sanhedrin was they're appointed, but then they sort of elect themselves. So it's kind of like the Supreme Court, where they choose their own the Israeli Supreme Court at least. How is it in the countries you came from?
In the Gemara, that there's like a majority rule.
There is such a thing as majority rule in the Sanhedrin itself, meaning in choosing the laws, there is such a thing. But you all pointed to the idea of a monarchy, the Melech, as an example to show that we don't believe in democracy. We're anti-democratic. We believe in monarchies. But the question is that actually true? And that happens to be the reason. What? Oh, so what did Hashem recommend then? What did Hashem recommend? Which the elected leader?
Can you pull half a?
It does nowhere in the Torah does it say you shall elect your own leaders. Ah, so God is the supreme road. Okay, so the answer is we have to look in this week's parsha. It is in Parshat Ki Tetze. Shoftim. This is last week's parsha. No thanks, I'm good. Okay. The section about the Melech is in Parshat Shoftim, but we're going to see that the text itself, as we always see, is much more nuanced than we think, than we thought, and it leads in a lot of different interesting directions, as you will see. So open to Perek Yud Zayin in Devarim, chapter 17, Pasuk Yud Dalet. Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Dalet. And we're going to see that what you thought, meaning the thing we assume that the Malchut is anti-democratic, isn't entirely so. Now, I'm basing a lot of what I'm saying on, there's an article, a mini book, it's called, put out by the Machon Mishpatei Eretz.
Some Mishpatei Eretz. Trying out your classes on our shir.
Is that a problem?
No, it's like being
Yes. We're fine. It's not a quiz of guinea pig. I think it's regular, you know. I don't know. Why not?
Be your guinea pig anytime.
Don't complain.
Yeah, what? Well, don't you think I've never done it before? I mean, no, I think this, he wrote this one, a mini book put out by Rav Yehuda Zoldan, and the Machon Mishtei Eretz is run by, let me see if I know what the name of it, is run by Rav Avi Gisser. Rav Avi Gisser is somewhat well known in the Jewish community. Well, you wanted a Machon, this is an issue, but it's very, very important. Like, this, I think, this issue of democracy, liberalism versus Jewish values, and can we find the melding between the two, is the core issue in Israel today. The core issue. It affects every single major issue that we fight about today. You know, from the voice, to who runs the media, to, like we said, to be fighting this war. Think about the different people who are going to determine how we're going to fight in Gaza. What values are going to determine, you know, disengagement, or giving up land, or peace negotiations. The critical issue is who controls the discussion about the state of Israel. So, of course, the way you do that is by creating think tanks and by creating people who can then generate discussion, who can then move the needle in a certain direction. So this Machon Mishpatei Aretz is one small machon put out, you know, opened by this Rabbi Gisser to try to influence the discussion in a certain direction. But of course, you know, there are huge machonim, the Machon Aretz HaDemokratia, there's like huge think tanks in Israel that are trying to do exactly the same thing in different directions, because everything, of course, is motivated by ideology. Okay? So this is based on an article, a long article, a long like mini book by this rabbi named Rabbi Yehuda Zoldan, who I don't know, but I don't know. I like this piece. Anyway, says the Torah. Perek Yud Zayin, you have a Pasuk Yud Dalet. And we're going to speak, we're going to focus primarily on the first two psukim. Ki tavo al ha'aretz. She Hashem Elokecha noten lach, v'yirishta v'yashavta ba. When you should come to the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you, and you will inherit it, and you will yashavta ba, dwell in it. V'amarta. We have to read it extremely carefully. V'amarta. And you will say, Asima alai melech kechol hagoyim asher sivivotai. And you will say, place upon me a king, like all the nations that are surrounding me. Som tasim alecha melech asher yivchar Hashem Elokecha bo. Som tasim.
There's your double, like
that's exactly right. There's my double. Som tasim. Thank you. You shall surely place. You shall lasim is to place, to appoint. Alecha melech, over you a king.
Need sugar?
No, it's good. Asher yivchar Hashem Elokecha bo. What? Okay. Mikerev achecha, from among your brothers.
Jewish.
Tasim alecha melech. You shall place upon yourself a king. Lo tuchal latet alecha ish nachri asher lo achichahu. You may not place upon yourself an ish nachri. Asher lo achichahu.
Saying
it again.
Yes.
What do we know about saying things again in the Torah?
It means it's important.
Not really? That's all? It means it's important?
It could have
different implication, different understanding. Okay? We're going to read on, and then we're going to come back to these two psukim just to understand. Rakla Yarbelo Susim. Now, so that's the appointment of the king. Those two psukim are relevant for us. Rakla, but now there's a few rules about him. Lo Yarbelo Susim. He can't have too many horses. He may not return the nation to Egypt to have a lot of horses. Why would you go to Egypt for horses?
That's where they had the best.
That's where the horses were. That's always where the horses were. The Gemara says, actually.
So Shlomo went.
The Gemara says that they were well known, the Alexandrian horses, and they bred them a certain way, and they also kept their secret. They didn't want to, of course, share their trade secret. Made sense. V'Hashem amar lechem lo tosifun l'shuv b'derech hazeh. And God said to you, don't go back there. That's one rule. Not too many horses. What were horses used for? What were the words about?
War.
Cavalry. Okay? Not too many horses.
Are we not supposed to have too many
executions? Excellent question. V'lo yarbe lo nashim. V'lo yasur levavo. He shouldn't have too many wives. Why? V'lo yasur levavo. So they don't lead him astray. By the way, what's too many?
More than.
More than? 18, all right. 18 is the right amount. 19 is too many. Okay, just so you know.
What about credit cards?
The kesef is a hav lo yar belo ma'od. You shouldn't have too much money either. When he sits on his throne, he has to write for himself. This Mishneh Torah. What's Mishneh Torah? Anybody know what that refers to? Mishneh Torah. So look at Rashi just for a second. Shtei Sifrei Torah. He should have two Torahs. Echad shimunachat b'beit ginazav. One Torah he keeps in his house, in his library. Ve'achad shenichneset v'yotzeit imo. And one that travels with him. The king always has to have, you know, like how the American president has the guy with the football, the briefcase. They always show that in the movie with the nuclear codes. Mm-hmm. So the Israeli king, the king of Israel, he also has a guy walking around with the briefcase. But in the briefcase is a Sefer Torah. He always has to be able to consult with the Sefer Torah. Vaitayimo, and it should be with him, the Karabo Kol Yemei Chayav. He reads it all the days of his life. Leman Yilman, so he will learn. The Yirat Hashem Elokav, to fear Hashem is God. To keep the words of this Torah, and these rules, to do them. Chaf, very interesting pasuk. So his heart should not be lifted over his brothers. And that he not deviate from the mitzvah of right or left. So that he should have long life over his kingdom. Hu uvanav v'kerav Yisrael. Him and his children amongst B'nai Yisrael. Okay? So there are very interesting rules about a king. Can't have too many horses. Not his military can't be too big. Can't have too much money. Can't have too many wives. All the things that you associate with...
Well, kingdom.
With kingdom. Royalty. With royalty, he's limited.
But he can still have it.
He has to have them. He should have them. Anyway. Why did he say Shalom had 1,000 wives?
Because he did.
Transgressed them there.
He was not lauded for his 1,000 wives. He was not lauded. Anyway, let's go back to Pasuk Yud Dalet. Ki tavo al ha'aretz asher Hashem lo kanetein lecha biyushta v'yishavta bah. V'amarta, you shall say. And you shall say. Asima alai melech echol agim asher sefotai. Place upon me a king like all of the nations that are surrounding me. Is there a mitzvah to appoint a king or not? Is it a mitzvah or is it optional?
If all the nations around you have a king, you should have a king.
What's that?
If all the nations around you have a king, you should have a king.
Ve'amarta, and you shall say, Asima Alai Melech, I will place up over me a king, Kichol Agoyim Asher Svivotai.
Sontasim is a...
Sounds like?
It sounds like God is accepting a situation that you're going to want a king for the nations around you.
Okay.
And you're going to want one too, so I guess we'll give it the okay because you're going to want it, otherwise you financially going to be unhappy.
That's exactly what it sounds like. I agree totally. It sounds exactly like that. Does it seem like it's... But what's the ideal then?
No. Okay.
Who's in charge?
Okay. Like you would still need...
Okay, my question. God's the king.
Okay.
We all agree
another
that God is the king.
Another non-ideal situation. Now you're saying that here we have another...
Wait. I'm not saying anything yet. I'm just meeting the psukim, really. Like, I haven't said anything yet. Yes.
Do what's accepted among the nation. When do we
whatever else? My question. That's exactly what the Torah says. V'amarta. And you will say, Asima ani melech. I'll place upon myself a king. Like all the nations. So I just want to ask you a question. So if God is the king, who collects the taxes?
It's just
a
king.
Is
the real
king. So, again, is there... Give me a Rambam Hilchot Shoftim. Okay? Again, is there a... See where the Rambam? Down. Right there. Hilchot Shoftim. Okay. Is it ideal, or is it... Is it... Not ideal to appoint a king.
Yes. There are people who follow both sides.
But I'm asking, what does God want? How are we supposed to understand this mitzvah? What does the Torah want? Does he want us to appoint a king, or does he not want us to appoint a king?
Because that's my question. If it is acceptable for the nations to have a prime minister or president, does that mean
we're supposed to be different than all the nations?
Okay, so what should we have? Do we need a government? Yes.
Well, he doesn't give another option. Like, there's no other option given in the Torah, so it seems that, like, this is it. Like, this is what you're supposed to do, no?
Okay.
Is Moshe an adequate?
He's saying, appoint a king, a Jewish king from your own people.
Okay.
Otherwise, a non-Jewish king is going
to rule
over you.
Okay. I'm going to read you the Rambam. Says the Rambam.
Then they're supposed to have a king.
Otherwise,
the option, the alternative is
bread. The Amarta, and you will say, I'll place upon
me. You need to say that you want a king. So that, okay.
Everybody understand the problem. And the way, does it seem logical that we should have a king?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. What's Moshe if he's not the king?
What's Moshe?
Leader.
He's a man.
Navi?
He's a Navi. Moshe. Okay. Rabbeinu. He's a Rav. What is that? What is a Rav?
Leader.
Rav is not a Milamed. It's not a Moreh. He's a Rav. Okay? By the way, what's the opposite of Rav?
Talmid.
Is there another opposite of Rav? Rabbi. Who calls somebody Rav?
A Talmud.
Or I'm looking for one more where there's one more option.
Clearly.
A slave. What does an Eved call his master?
Oh, Rav.
Adonai.
What? My master? Adon, Rav. Okay. Yeah. Rav does not just imply teacher. Rav implies leader. Rav implies someone who leads, who controls, who, you know what I'm saying? Interesting. Says the Rambam, Hilchot Melachim u'Milchamot, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph. You only find this in the Rambam because the Rambam is the only one that talks that has a halachot that don't deal with the day-to-day. The Rambam wrote on all of the... Right, he also deals with day-to-day, but the Shulchan Aruch stopped. The Shulchan Aruch that we have stopped at stuff that's relevant in the Galut. Rambam did it all. It says the following.
Sure.
Shalom. Why didn't the Shulchan Aruch
Because Rambam is the one who wrote the Shulchan Aruch doesn't write 13 principles, one of which is to believe Mashiach is coming. Rambam did. So
I just give you an idea. It's so interesting. The halachot that were not relevant during the time of the Galut, it's like a blank slate in a sense. I mean, if you want to say, well, should I daven Shacharit? Should I say Yalla V'Yavo today or not say Yalla V'Yavo today? There's a huge library of literature spanning thousands of years that will tell you exactly what to do, and it's been discussed ad nauseum, and there's really not much for you to add. But if you want to ask the question, am I allowed to cut my lawn during Shemitah? There is no Shulchan Aruch Hilchot Shemitah. The last time people discussed Hilchot Shemitah in a practical way was 2,000 years ago. So in the Gemara, well, even in before that, in the Mishnah, there's no Talmud Bavli on Hilchot Shemitah. So it's like it's totally open. The Rambam says this, but you're looking at Pirush Mishnayot, meaning there is no Shulchan Aruch for how do we run a Jewish government? There is no such thing.
Because there was no reality.
Because there was no Jewish government. So you have the Rambam, but you don't really have much to go on. So how do you decide, well, what does Judaism want from us? You got Midrashim here and Midrashim there, but there's no, how should we say this? There's no thousands of years long, millennia long tradition of government should look like this, and the Sanhedrin's job is exactly that. It's much more open.
We didn't have a government when we had our king.
When you had a king, you didn't need a Shulchan Aruch. They weren't writing things down. It was all Baal Peh. It was all orally transmitted. Kind of developed. It evolved. It's very fascinating. Anyway, it says the Rambam.
When they're talking about a king, they're talking about a dictator-type king, opposed to like what they have in Britain.
What is a dictator? Well, what are you defining? Well, what happened in Britain is just nothing.
Ceremonial.
Is nothing. No. The king had the power.
To do what?
Rambam delineates it very clearly. Okay? To judge, to tax, to go to war, eminent domain. He says very clearly, if you read it on. Says the Rambam, Shalosh mitzvot nistavu Yisrael b'shach nistatam la'aretz. There are three commandments that the Bnei Yisrael were commanded to do when they enter the land. One, limnot lahem melech, to appoint a king. Shene emar, as it says, som tasim alecha melech.
That is pretty emphatic. The double verb.
Som tasim, you shall surely place upon yourself a king.
But isn't that some kind of
what? Som tasim.
Like you must put a king.
Oh, wait, wait a second. Okay, but just read the last two. What are the other two? There are three mitzvot. Number two, lachrid zarosh al amalek. Destroy Amalek. And the third one is, anybody know?
Build
the Beit HaMikdash. Those are three commandments that we have. Well, we're getting there. Right, we'll get there. Okay, have we done?
Two and three we're working on.
What about number one? What about number one?
Not going so well.
Okay. Why, if the Rambam, so according to the Rambam, we have to answer this question. If it says, if the Torah wants you, if it's a commandment, if it's a mitzvah to appoint upon yourself a king, why does it say, Ve'amarta asima alai melech kechol agoyim asher svivotai? What should it say? The pasuk should say, Ki tavo al haaretz asher elokem elokecha noten lach, v'yirishta v'yashavta ba, som tasim alecha melech. So what's fascinating is, that the Torah placed a commandment in the context of the desire of the people. According to the Rambam, it's a commandment, but we're waiting for you. Yes, you have a mitzvah, but when is the mitzvah come into play? When you're ready, when you decide you're ready. Yeah.
Just like when you, also the same thing, when you go out to war, and if you want a woman, this is how you can take her. It's also the same thing, like looking at our nature, what we're going to want. It's not the best thing, but it's like the DIY.
No, I mean, I have to disagree. I disagree because the way you're saying it, you're saying then that the option of appointing a king is totally optional. Meaning also, in the case of the Yifat Torah, also it's even worse than that. It's not only is it optional, it's considered you know, not the best option. We don't want you to do it. But if you do it, then this is how you should do it.
I understand the difference, but it does say that you're going to appoint a king because you look around. It's not that...
It doesn't say because...
And it does seem to imply that. And you say, Kachol goyim asher
svivotai. It's not that...
You're
saying that
there's a good young elect king.
Next pasuk.
Okay. One minute.
Next pasuk. Can you? I'll tell you, these psukim are wrought with everybody. It's important to understand the seeming dual message. The dual message: must we have a king, or do we have to want a king? What's the answer? It seems yes. Everybody understand both, right? Yes, Ibrina, you want to say yes?
Yes, I wanted to say that.
That works.
I wanted to say that when you go into Eretz Yisrael, there is a constantly running theme about destroying the Kananim and kicking them out and being influenced by them there. I think there's an acceptance here that when you get into Eretz Yisrael, you will want to be like everybody else. That's the reality that's going to happen. So when you want to be like, and it's not necessarily a negative, it's a reality. Just like they have a mitzvah to eradicate all of Canaan and all of their avodah zarah so that they won't influence them, because it's an accepted reality that they will be influenced if they don't do it. Mm-hmm. So I'm accepting the reality that you will want to be like everybody else, and therefore make sure that your king is such a person that will not lead you in that direction.
So that's fine. You're just reading the word va'amarta is and you will say.
Yes.
Not and if you say.
Correct.
It's you will say.
Right.
Everybody understand? That's one way to read it. What's another way to read it? If you say.
Why would you interpret a vav as if? Where would you get that?
Why would you have the whole point of and you shall say? It doesn't make sense to include it. Who cares what you say?
I just said that it makes sense.
Why does it make sense? Why does God care what we want or what we don't want?
That's a different question.
If we're supposed to have a king, You want it or not? Have a king.
No, we just spoke last week about a situation in which the Torah understands and accepts the reality in which we live.
Is this ideal or is it not ideal to have a king?
I think it's Hashem accepting the reality that
it's not ideal to have a king?
No, it is. It is. It's ideal because we're people.
I don't think it is.
The comment that's there is that you look around and you see people floating around you. And the minute that comment is there,
it
doesn't feel
the same.
It feels
not
ideal.
So the Rambam has to say exactly what Rina is saying. We don't know how the Rambam read the Psukim, but he has to say something similar. Ve'amarta, you have to minimize ve'amarta. When you say it, you don't say it. You have a mitzvah when you enter the land to appoint a king. How long, by the way, historically did it take for them to appoint a king? How long? You know this, right?
300 years.
350 years, at least. Right? Because remember, there was Shvot HaShoftim. What's the catchphrase of the Book of Shoftim? Anybody know? The catchphrase of the Book of Shoftim is Ish Ka Yashab Einav Yased. Ein Melech B'Yisrael. There was no king in Israel. Everybody did whatever they wanted. At least a pandemonium. At least, you know what I'm saying? How can you have a country where everybody does what they want? How can you have a country where everybody does what they want? You can't. How can you have a community? How can you have anything where everybody does what they want? You can't. We are at our most powerful. We are at our best when we work together. But we have different interests. We have different priorities. We have different needs. So you need somebody to unify the people. And that somebody is going to sometimes have to say, no, I'm deciding. This is what's best for us. And you have to do what I say. For example, we're going out to war. Do you want to go out to war? Everybody, are you in the mood to go out to war? So the people in the South will say, yeah.
Or no, we've had enough.
Yeah, but they...
No, they say yeah.
Get it done.
We're tired of this.
We've had enough of the reason for the war.
And until now, the people in the Tel Aviv have said, eh.
And now?
And just in case the people in the North weren't sure.
Right. Just in case the people in the North weren't sure. I think about him. Yes, I hugged him. Okay.
He's leaving now?
No, he's leaving now. They're leaving now.
They're leaving at 9:30.
Okay. Well, you'll be back. Like Arnold. Okay. So everybody understand how... I just want to point out how fraught with meaning and import this one pasuk is. And how it's read in two different ways, and how relevant it is today to our time. Next pasuk. Okay, so who gets to pick the king?
Hashem.
Really? Next pasuk. Som tasim alecha melech. Who picks the king? Who places the king? Who appoints the king? You appoint the king. Who chooses who the king is? Asher yivchar Hashem elokecha bo.
So it's like Hashem chooses and you accept?
Hashem brings the candidates.
That reminds me of the elections. It reminds me of the elections in Iran. Right? What's the elections in Iran? The democratically elected president of Iran, 200 candidates presented their candidacy. And of that, the Islamic clerics in Iran, they negated 192 of them and said, you can choose from these 8. Okay, freely elected president. Exactly. It's like the elections in Syria, right? President of Syria was freely elected. By 99, remember they used to have that in in Russia, by 99.9% of the population in North Korea, right, have chosen their, okay? So which is it? Again, this idea, who chooses? Asher som tasim alecha melech, asher yivchar Hashem elokecha bo.
At least you know if God chooses a king, you've got a chance.
How does God choose the king? I'm asking you. The white smoke. How does God choose the king? By the way, you think this is all biblical? I'm sure they get it from there somewhere. How does God choose the king? How do you know? Through a Navi. There's only one other option. How else would you know what God wants?
God will tell us.
How? Navi or Urim Tumim? Urim Tumim, through the Kohen Gadol. But.
Is this the same thing as the Mashiach?
But. Well, it depends what you define as the melech. But what do you do if you don't have a navi? Do you have a king then?
Well, that's the question. Once he's been chosen, you have the decision.
What if he's killed? What if he's bad? Can you change? Okay, so now let's look at the mefarshim. So mashim asher melech asher yivchar. Okay.
So,
everybody understand?
Power corrupts.
In pasuk 1, we had inherent tension. In the very next pasuk, we have inherent tension. Why do you just say, Hashem yasim alechem melech? Hashem yivchar lechem melech. God would choose the king.
Are we not looking in Sefer Shmuel at all?
We will get to Sefer Shmuel. That's why I said to bring it to Tanakh. Anyway, okay. Look at Ibn Ezra, if we get there. This might be a two-week class.
Why not? Because that's where the Navi reiterates what Hashem said, and it's a different story.
Som tasim alecha melech. Look at Ibn Ezra. Asher yivchar. Everybody, if you have Ibn Ezra, anybody have it? No? Just me. Some people didn't listen. They brought a chumash. Okay. Says the Ibn Ezra, Al pi navi o mishpat ha'urim. How should you choose? Because through the navi or mishpat ha'urim, the Urim between, right? The hatam, the reason is, lo asher tivchar ata. Okay, it's not your choice. It's God's choice. So Som Tasim, you shall place upon yourself a king. Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha.
It says Hashem will choose, and they have to put the king on and make them in charge.
If
the
king will give power, then... very good, very good. This is actually essentially Rav Zolman's argument. Rav Zolman says, yes, God chooses the king. What if God chooses the king and the people don't want him?
What if he chooses someone who people think is like a nebbish nothing?
Is that person, for example, like who? Right. Or like who? Shaul HaMelech. Is that person the king if the people don't approve of him as the king? No. What? We'll see in a second. We don't have time to go through the whole thing, but we'll see in a second. Look at Ramban. So that's, Ibn Ezra says, God chooses, you like approve or whatever. It's God's choice. Look at the Ramban. Anybody have Ramban? Can we have Ramban? Okay. Asher Yichal Hashem Elokecha. Al Da'at HaMefarshim. Mefarshim means the Midrash. Sheyeh Nivchar Al Pi Navi O B'Mishpat Teurim. Yetzaveh means Tasim Alecha Melech Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha Bo. Ki Hu Yivchar V'Lo Ata. That's exactly what Ibn Ezra says. It means God chooses and not you. We're going to skip a little bit. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. V'Alder HaPshat. Next paragraph. V'Alder HaPshat. He says, that's nice. That's the Midrash. But according to Pshat, I think, Som Tasim Alecha Melech Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha Bo V'Lo Asher Saneh Hashem Elokecha. Place Som Tasim, I'm going to read it again. Let's read the pasuk again. Som Tasim Alecha Melech Asher Yivchar. You should put upon yourself a king that God would have chosen. Meaning, Ki Hu Bachar B'Yisrael, He chose Israel, V'Liyot HaMelech Mibechurav, V'lo Mikerav Ha'amim Asher Saneh. He chose to the Jewish people, and he wants the king to be from among its people, and not from that which he hates. V'da'ati B'derech HaPshat, I think what's Derech HaPshat? Kitam Asher Yivchar. What is the meaning that Asher Yivchar that God will choose? Shekol Molech Al Amim Me'et HaElohim Huzo. Every person chosen to rule over the nations
is chosen by God.
Is chosen by God.
Ah, Madina Chad and Erdogan and
what's that? So, well. The authority is, you want to say it that way?
You can say it's an Emunah issue that also the negative things that happen, you can say, well, God placed that person in charge for those things to happen.
Kinyan, correct. He's looking at it in a much more Kabbalistic or spiritual way. There's Yad Hashem in everything. How do you think it's remotely possible that you would appoint a king that God wouldn't have a hand in who you would choose as a king? Inyan shekatuv, it says in Daniel, Di shalit ila'a b'malchut enase. You have English? Are you following with me or not? It's in Aramaic. Daniel is in Aramaic. Okay? Di shalit ila'a b'malchut enase. I will raise up that person who is the ruler in the kingdom. Ulaman di yitzava yitinena. You have it or you don't have it? What does it translate?
Not the idea that it's written that the Most High rules over the kingdom of men.
Right, that God gives the rulership, the dominion, to whoever He wants. The Kacham, who said the sages in Baba Batra, Afilu Resh Garguta, even the head of
irrigation,
Min Shemaya Mukmele. You think we chose Eli Esquisito? You think you chose the head of the shul?
Well, he's clearly Min Shemaya.
That's true. Wow, you'd love that. Okay, you think you chose that? You think you chose Bibi Netanyahu? Exactly that. Think you chose what? You're so happy you're not him. Bibi?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh my God. If the answers were easy, it'd be easy. Okay, Yomar, I'm reading in the Ramban, continuing. Som tasim alecha melech, kol asher yiye nigzar min hashamayim shiyim loch. V'im hu mikatnei shivtei Yisrael mishpachto ha-tzi'ira. You choose, you pick, and whatever you pick, it's my choice too. Okay? Well, very fascinating. I would say we have three possibilities in how do we choose a leader. We have the Ibn Ezra, God chooses, not you. Then we have Ahuva, okay? who said, something in the middle. God chooses, but you have to accept. And if you don't accept, then the divine choice is not considered the king. And you have the Ramban, who seems to say, you choose, and God accepts. But what's fascinating in the Psukim is, there's that combination of Som Tasim Alecha Melech Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha. Which one is it? Som Tasim or Asher Yivchar? And based on your worldview and your perspective and your vision, what's fascinating is Ramban is the most, I would say, we would call him the most Kabbalistic, the most spiritual, the most, you know, so to all of them. So you would expect him to say, God chooses and you only, do, you know. But instead he says, no, you have to see the hand of God in the world. And the Yad Hashem influences what happens all the time. Which is fascinating. It's a little different than you would have expected.
If you don't see that far, then you take away free choice.
What's that?
If you don't see it from that perspective, then you have no free will.
Did they have free choice to approve, to choose David or Shaul? Did they have free choice?
That's not.
But they did. When did they have free choice?
When
they accepted. Why was Shaul appointed in the first place? Why was Shaul appointed in the first place?
I don't remember.
Shaul was appointed because Hashem appointed him. But why was he appointed? Why was he chosen? Why was he chosen at all? Why was any king appointed?
They need because Shmuel was dying.
Nope.
No, because they asked for one.
Correct. Because they asked for one. No. That's what you want. I thought that's what you wanted to get to.
Because they asked for one.
Correct. Exactly. Shmuel Aleph. Shmuel Aleph Perikhet. Okay, we're not going to look at that for in yet. Those of you who brought your Tanakh, so Rav Dolman mentioned something very, very fascinating. He says, what is a melech? Like, how would you describe in biblical terms a democratically elected representative? How would you describe that? It didn't exist. There was no such thing. What? It didn't exist. When did democracy even begin?
The French Revolution.
The French designed it?
The Greek Republic?
They were democratically elected?
The people chose their leaders with democracy.
I'm a Greek. See what I know. Okay, so somebody went to college and
you
learned this.
You did know it at some point.
What?
You learned it in social studies class, but you forgot.
In high school I learned this?
Yes, you did. You actually probably learned it in middle school.
I blocked it out of my mind.
Are you smarter than a fifth grader?
No. The Greeks? What? So what happened between the Greeks and I don't know, why did it wait 2,000 years for it to happen then? Why did it wait 2,000 years? People, I guess, felt that it failed? That's fascinating. Is democracy the ultimate choice for all people today?
No,
it is a Greek word.
It's proven that it's not working for a big portion of hell.
Correct. It's been proven. So like the idea that we're in charge, we believe in democracy, that's correct, but only. Is it better than the alternative? Really?
It depends who is chosen.
Democracy doesn't only mean that you get to choose your own representatives in the government. It means that there is a opposing party in the government that can challenge any decision that's made, and that's a very important part.
100%. So, is democracy functional, and does it work? In all countries in the world today.
No, they said about the Middle East.
Correct, look at the Middle East. Clearly not. Look what happened in Egypt. Right. Look what happened in Egypt. From our perspective, they went to democracy. And they went to democracy and they chose their elected leaders. And what did their elected leaders do? They were about to turn it into Gaza. They were literally about to turn it into Gaza. Where they were going to, what? Where they were going to ultimately destroy any minority. The people didn't overtake them. No, the spring overthrew Mubarak. And after the spring, with the encouragement of many Western countries, said, okay, elect your new leaders. Who do they elect?
Brotherhood.
Hamas. Okay? And what was Hamas about to do? Morsi, what was he about to do?
Destroy the opposition.
Right, destroy the opposition, so that there would be no more democratic elected leadership.
That's exactly what happened in Gaza. Hamas was democratically 100%. Elected.
100%. Well,
so to speak.
So it's fascinating. So Rav Zoldan mentions the following. In the very beginning of Parshat Miketz, turn to Parshat Miketz. Bereishit, those of you who actually brought it to that. Bereishit, Perek, Lamed Zayin, chapter 37. The dreams of Yosef. Chapter Lamed Zayin. We're not going to go through the dreams, okay? But as you all know, there are two dreams that he mentions. Okay, the first dream is the dream of the stalks of wheat, and then the second dream is the stars and the sun. Okay. After the first dream, look at Yosef's dreams. Perek Zayin, Perek Pasuk Zayin, Lamed Zayin Pasuk Zayin. You have it? Lamed Zayin Pasuk Zayin. Okay, he says the following. We're gathering the things, whatever. Your stalks turned around and bowed down to mine. Will you rule over us, be king over us? What? Tom Tassim, very interesting. What is the difference between Hamaloch Yimloch and Mashol Timshol? What's the difference between the two? So it's not just, they didn't just Stam say it. A ruler rules in a king of kings. What's the difference?
I think the first one is to rule over, but the second one is to dominate.
Ah, that's exactly what he says. Very good. He says a ruler, a melech, rules with the assent of the people. That's a melech. Whereas a moshel is a moshel, is a despot. And the example that he gives is when God created the constellations. Let me see if you can find it. 1 second. The stars in the sky. He calls it Vayas Elohim et Shnei Ha-Me'orot Agdolim. Okay, the Shnei Ha-Me'orot, the two lights Agdolim. Et ha-ma'or ha-gadol le-memshelet hayom. The sun, the great light, le-memshelet, the moshel. It's interesting, what do we call a government? A memshala, moshel. They rule, they govern, they rule your life. You have to pay taxes. They decide, if you don't pay taxes, what can they do to you?
Throw you in jail.
It's a memshala. They control you. Ve-ma'or ha-katan le-memshelet ha-layla ve-et ha-kochavim. So Rav Dolman says, very fascinating. He says, look at the two dreams that Yosef had. The first dream is the dream of the stalks. Everyone is equal stalks.
No, the second dream is the dream of the stalks.
No, the first one is Alumati. Okay. No. The stalks. My stalk and you guys bow down, your stalks bow down to my stalks. But it's interesting, your stalk and I'm a stalk. What's the second dream?
Oh yeah, the second dream.
Hashemesh v'yareach v'chala kukhavim mishtachavim li. Now he's using the Moshlim. So he says, it's interesting, they said it before the first dream. Hamaloch tim loch aleinu is, you think we're going to choose you? We're going to let you be our ruler? Im mashol tim shol banu? Number two, you think you're going to be so powerful that you can dominate over us and force us to serve you?
So the sun and the moon dream, the sun and the stars and the moon dream was that, yes, I will.
Yes. Correct. The answer is, you said it. That's exactly right. It's very interesting between Melech and Moshe, but in that context, if that's true, if Rav Zoldan is correct, it's speculation, then when God says, it's interpretation, but Som Tassim Alecha Melech, you shall place upon yourself a king, is much more in line with Ramban. He says actually what Ahuva said, that yes, you place upon yourself a king, God chooses the identity of a king, but you have to accept that person upon yourself. Because if you don't accept that person upon yourself, then he's not the king. He doesn't have the power to decide and to rule. Only when he doesn't he have the power to control you. So there are two examples that he gives. Let me see if I can open it. The first one we'll see when Shaul is appointed. Did you find it when Shaul is appointed? I don't
want to
go to. I don't
want
to go through the whole. There's a whole other section when Shmuel is appointed. They ask Shmuel for a king. Shmuel is very bitter, and God seems against it. So all the Mefreshim have to deal with it with another issue. We could learn it next week. I don't know what I can do next week. It's enough. I'll do it in college. But when Shmuel is approached, when the people approach Shmuel and they say we want a king, you find this in Perchet, correct?
Okay.
So they come to him and they say, 1 second. They come to Shmuel
well,
and they say,
"Kelim come to him first."
Okay. They say, if you want to follow, you can look at Shmuel Perachet if you have a Tanakh. Shmuel chapter 8, pasuk
Dalet.
Shmuel Perichet. Vayikapsu kol zignei Yisrael v'yavu Shmuel haramata.
It's the leaders. It's not the Ramana.
Oh, but the zignei, the zikanim, the leaders represented the people. Oops, sorry. Vayamru elav, they said, hinei ata zakanta. You're old. Ubanecha lo halchu bidrachecha. And your kids, they don't follow in your path. Atasimu lanu melech l'shafteinu k'chol hagoyim. Listen to what they say. Place upon us a king, l'shafteinu. It's not, the shofet was not a judge. What would the shofet, the fate's job was to rule us, to guide us.
Temporal ruler.
Yes. K'chol hagoyim. How does that sound? Does that sound bad?
Not everyone else.
What does that remind you of, the language of k'chol hagoyim?
That's what they said
in the pasuk. In the pasuk it says, exactly right. K'chol hagoyim asher svivotai. Pasuk Vav, this is the part that all the Mefashim have to deal with. Vayera hadavar be'enei Shmuel. Ka'asher amru tina lanu melech shafteinu. Vayitpalel Shmuel al Hashem. And Shmuel was very upset about this. Vayera hadavar. It was very negative in his eyes. Okay? For what they said. And he talked to God. Pasuk Zayin.
Wait a second. Can I just...
Vayomer Hashem al Shmuel. No. Let me just... Vayomer Hashem al Shmuel. Shma b'kol ha'am l'chol asher yomu elech. I'll listen to them. Ki lo otcha ma'asu. Ki oti ma'asu min lo chaleim. They don't hate you. They hate me. What? That's so unfair. What happened? Oh, look in Sefer Dvarim. If they say, we want a king, k'chol adin ha'shem k'goyim asher svivotai, and they say exactly that, and comes along God and says, you're right. They don't hate you. They hate me. What happened? We're not going to answer that question. You can discuss it at home. All right? You can write this down. Why is Hashem angry? Why is God mad? But it's all the Mefarshim have to deal with this question. They all deal with it. You can look at a number of different Mefarshim, look at the Yakar, look at Or HaChaim. They all have to deal with this discussion. Nonetheless, we'll go on. Shmuel gives it to them and says, you don't know what a king is. It's terrible. He's going to rule over you. He's going to tax you. Blah, 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 blah. Okay? And who does he choose? Who does he pick? Pasuk Tet. Peretet. And his name was Kish, and his son was Shaul, Bachur Batov. He was very nice, he was very tall, he was very good looking, etc., etc., etc. One second. Okay? Where do they choose him? Pasuk Yud.
Look at
Tedvav.
Pasuk Tedvav, Hashem tells Shmuel that you're going to meet Shaul and you're going to make him king.
Okay.
And
Perikyud. But there's a point where there are people in Shebelial who don't accept him.
It's going to be only after he's anointed.
Anyway, whatever. So Rav Zolden points out, I don't have it at the tip of my tongue, but he's appointed. But Shaul goes home. He goes home. Why does he go home? He goes home because not everybody wanted him. Okay?
Yeah,
Pasuk
Yud, the middle of Yud Aleph.
Pasuk Yud Aleph. Where are you?
That's not it.
All right, well, whatever. You can look at it on your own. I don't know. I'm not top of my head. That's Rav Zolden's point, that when a king is chosen, he's only chosen based on the decision of the people. So now what do you do when you don't have a... What are you supposed to do when you don't have a Navi to tell us who to choose? What? Pray to God. Okay, is so what modern day, how should we call them, thinkers, leaders, rabbinic figures, want to know is the prime minister of Israel, does he have the din of a melech? What's that? No, is the freely elected leader of the Jewish people? Is he, in halachic terms, is he considered the melech? Yeah, you don't have to call him king. The word king, it's a name.
But if he is,
ruler.
And he should be in the front lines.
What?
With his people, he is, and he should be in the front lines.
He is at the front lines. They didn't go out. The king didn't go out to war. He was with the people. No, they didn't risk his life. The officers did. But they didn't. The king is the king.
Where's
yeah. What's that?
No, they have a Torah in the front lines.
Derech Agav, he's very much into Tanakh. He's very much into Tanakh. That one will. Does it matter? Does a prime minister who's not religious, is a king who's not religious, does he still have the din of a king?
It's all about self-control.
What?
He did.
Of course. Many kings throughout many hundreds of years of Jewish history. Well, let's not go crazy, but okay.
He really does.
Do you know what the Machon Demokratia would do if they found out they really did consult with the Rebbe? Consults, yes. But he still makes his own decisions, I hope. Okay? Anyway, actually, Derech Agav, that's the rule of the king. The king is not supposed to be the religious leader. You have the Melech, you have the Navi, you have the Sanhedrin. You always have those three different...
Kohen Gadol.
So it wasn't... The king was not the most religious person. He wasn't the Rav HaRashi. He was not. He had other factors to take into account. Always. It's just fascinating to know.
So then we should build the Sanhedrin now.
What?
We don't have that balance.
We should build the Sanhedrin, shouldn't we?
So we have that balance.
And you should also build the Beit HaMikdash, shouldn't we?
Totally agree.
So what's stopping us from doing it?
Fear.
Lack of money. No one told us to?
You're waiting for
Rambam says the mitzvah is build the Beit HaMikdash. What's stopping us from doing it? If the Prime Minister of Israel is the din of a melech,
You said there were three things, and the second thing was to get rid of Amalek, and we haven't done that. We haven't kicked them out of our land.
Does it have to be in order? That's an interesting question.
Well, they're still sitting on the Beit HaMikdash.
Well, the idea that Rambam wrote it like that, there are those who say, because it does need to be in order, that without a melech, you can't accomplish the other two. You need a strong...
You need all the money. Okay. Wait, you mean direct words from God? You like that? What's that? What they... Until they finally said it. They weren't ready, I guess. Derech Agav, you're right, they weren't unified. They weren't ready for it. Derech Agav, only the king, when the king came, did they build the Beit HaMikdash. Right? It took that amount of time. The king came, David HaMelech won, Shaul couldn't do it, he didn't unify the people. David finally unified the people, and then only his son was able to build the Beit HaMikdash, when they were sufficiently unified. The rule of a king, forget king, like, I think the Rav Zordon's point is well said. There is no biblical language for prime minister. You call him president, who cares what you call him? You know what I'm saying? You want to call him ruler and sultan. Would you care if you called him absolute ruler and sultan if he was actually democratically elected? You know, the king of Libya called himself colonel. Was he colonel? It didn't matter. The name, you can't get stuck on king. The fact that the king of England has no power. It doesn't mean it's semantic. It's totally semantic. So I actually believe, I think Rav Zolden is very convincing, that there is an element of a choice, a will of the people. What?
There is no king.
Well, there will be. Derech Agav, just so you know, Som Tasi Melech HaMelech Mikerev Achecha, from among your brothers, says Chazal, Melech V'lo Malka. This is also one of the primary sources for the fact that men are in leadership positions and not women. But it's another discussion entirely. I decided to throw that in just to bother you. Okay? What's that? Except Queen Esther. It's a very interesting question. What's that? I have to finish. With the comment of the Netziv. The Netziv talks about, we'll leave it here. You can see there's so much more to discuss, about this. To read the story in Shmuel, to understand Shmuel and David, really it's very much worthwhile to read, to try to understand why Shmuel so upset when they asked to be able to appoint a king? Why is God seemingly so upset? The Chazal said they didn't ask appropriately. What they wanted wasn't what God wanted them to have. They should have wanted something different. But we all know that you need to have a government. You need to have someone who centralizes the people, brings us together. What was that? What? Why wasn't the Shoftim good enough?
They didn't work.
Shoftim?
That's what Sefer Shoftim is all about. How each of those leaders, the system was off.
It wasn't enough.
With each of the leaders.
Correct.
Shlomo.
And then it fell apart.
So, I mean, there are three generations of kings that worked in the midst of Shaul.
Oh, Shaul didn't work so well.
Right.
Either.
What I'm saying is that system should work as a system.
The system that we have now, I think, works quite well. For a sense. Yeah.
Now,
our chosen leaders, a Democratic. What? 60 years is not bad. So we'll see how long it lasts, but one that said does choose based on the will of the majority, but takes into account the will of the minority, It's a very logical system. What?
We don't pick our king.
We absolutely do.
We do not pick the prime minister. We pick the party. And the party that wins picks the prime minister.
Yeah, but it's based upon the choice of the people. It doesn't have to be directly selected. Like, no democratic...
Right, even in the United States, it's not...
You choose the Electoral College.
Even in the United States, you choose the Electoral College. It's not the popular vote. It doesn't always work.
That's what you definitely say. Hashem is clearly in charge.
Okay, I want to finish with the Nitziv. He says something very insightful. He says, Harei yadua b'divrei Chazal. We know, according to Chazal, mitzvah libnot melech, like Rambam says. It's a commandment to appoint a king. Imken, lama k'tiv ve'amarta. He asks the question that we ask. Why does it say, and you shall say, if in the end your job is, God wants you to have a king? Nir'eh, he says, mishum d'hanahagata medina mishtaneh. The leadership of a country changes. Im mitneheg al pidat melucha, or pidat ha'am v'nitchayem. Sometimes it's the rule of the king, sometimes it's the nation and their chosen elected leaders. There are some kings, there are some nations that can't suffer a monarchy. They can't tolerate it. We couldn't, in Israel we couldn't tolerate a monarchy. In England they couldn't tolerate a monarchy. What are you going to tell me what to do just because you're you? And there are some nations that without a king, it's like a boat without a captain. It's what he says is so prescient. He wrote this in Russia in 1860, 1870. Pressure is so true, we see today. There are some countries that need a king. And there are some countries that can't deal with a king. You can't command it. This is matters of life and death. What kind of government you have. Literally, life and death. You can't say, choose a king if the people can't handle a king. Because if we choose a king and he starts forcing it on people, people will die. And if you don't have a king and you need a king, people will die. It's very fascinating. So he says, why does the Torah say it in the way of Amarta Som Tasim? He says, because it depends. There are some times and some places where we need a king. In some places and sometimes that we don't need a divinely appointed or you know, an absolute power king. And you have to know when and you have to know how. And it's such a deep, insightful comment that we see how true it is today. We need an appointed leader. Because if somebody would come and impose himself and say, I'm the king of Israel, that wouldn't work. What? He'd be gone or we'd be gone. We would destroy ourselves. He could impose himself upon us. Look at Gaza. The king can impose himself upon the people, but it's destroying them. It's destroying them. It's not destroying us. It's destroying them. It's terrible for them.
Well, if you don't have the will of the people, then you have to be by fear, and then you have to still feel fear by killing.
So I just found that comment of the Nitziv is so insightful. God wants us to have the government that's ideal for us. And if that's true, if that's what God wants us to have, then the government that we choose has the din of a government. And if that's true, then you won't say one day, David Melch Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. We'll find out, if the Ramban is correct, we'll find out that the elected Prime Minister of Israel is the Mashiach. And he'll build the Beit HaMikdash. Because that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to be. And I don't think that's so far-fetched. It doesn't have to be the king that you thought. It doesn't have to be, there's not a crown on his head. He has to be the person that leads us in the proper way. That's what the Ramban is saying. The person, how do you know who the Mashiach is? When he does those three things, when he builds a Beit HaMikdash, when he destroys Amalek, then you know he's the Melech HaMashiach. You don't have to have any elections, you don't have to have any prophecies. That's how you know. The proof, as they say, is in the pudding. Stop here.